This is Shmuel Bowman, and I have the distinct honor of talking today with Meirav. Meirav is a sergeant in the Israel Defense Forces. She's with the Ya'el unit, or the Ya'el battalion, and is located in southern Israel. Well, I've known Ya'el. She's been an old family friend for many, many years. And we were enjoying Rosh Hashanah lunch with her family and her siblings, her parents, dear, dear friends, neighbors. And Meirav told us this story that really, wow, it really blew us away. It was really, really amazing. Here we are, we're sitting at October the 7th, 1 year since this horrible, horrible, unimaginable massacre took place. And it hasn't ended. We've been in a war on multiple fronts, many stories, many heavy stories. And when we find a story that is so full of light, it really pierces that darkness. It really exemplifies the real goodness that is taking place every single day here in Israel. And here's an example. Wanted to share it with you. Meirav, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. So, Meirav, why don't you give us the background a little bit to this incredible story?
So basically, I've been in reserve service on and off since October 7th a year ago. I was up north, now I'm down south on the border with Gaza and Egypt. And I was called about 3 weeks ago. I've been here for several days. And basically before every chag, every holiday that comes up, we try to organize it so that some of the people on the staff can on the on base can leave for the chagim to be with their families for the holidays. I was planned to be on Rosh Hashanah with my family in Efrat.
And by the way, let me just say, when you're saying at your base, and by the way, we're speaking to you, you're actually at your IDF base right now. So this base is located pretty far away from home, wouldn't you say?
It's about a 2 hour drive away from home. It's
That's
not,
if you're
yeah,
a fast driver.
when we're here for a while. Usually we stay in for 2 weeks, and when we leave, it's like for a few days to really give us the drive home, to be with our families. So I was supposed to be out for Rosh Hashanah. I was let out Tuesday night, actually the night of the Iranian attack. I was caught actually on the bus, like on the way home to Jerusalem, like a 2 hour drive bus. And we just ran off the bus. We went to some random family's home and just stayed there for basically the whole hour until it was safe enough and we were told we could leave
Let
and
me
get back on the bus.
hold on a second. Let me just understand, because I was sitting in my office, actually, where I'm actually recording this with you right now. Siren went off. Actually, it was a very weird siren. It kind of took over everybody's phones, right? And all of a sudden, this sound that we weren't necessarily familiar with, but certainly it was an alert. I actually had the key, or the access to the key, to the bomb shelter for our office complex. And when I got to the door, there were about 20 people waiting outside the locked door of the bomb shelter. Why it was locked is a very good question. Shouldn't have been, but it was. And I actually had the password for the access to the lock box for the key. 22 of us piled in there. You didn't have a shelter on that bus, but yet you had to get off that bus, right? There were, right, sirens and rockets flying all overhead, and you wind up going into a total stranger's home. What do you do? Like, knock on the door and say, "Hi, we're here." What do you do?
It was just weird because we were looking around and like I don't know how much time we had. Obviously, we got those messages on our phones before. It was my first time. I don't know. I think it's the first time they used that system. And I was just, we were all just running, looking for a safe place to be. We went into this house. When I got there, the door was already open. They were sort of like welcoming us in.
Sure.
An ultra-Orthodox family, actually. So it was also very interesting. All the interesting people that just randomly gathered in their homes in their house. It wasn't a safe room. It wasn't like a shelter, but it was better than being outside. It was a sta a ha you know a house better than just being out. So that was the way home. We stayed there for an hour. Some people were dancing, actually. It was very interesting.
Wow.
You know, you have an hour to be together. You can't just sit and be afraid. You have to. Some were praying, some were dancing. Anyway, that was just the interesting, the beginning part of the story. After an hour, like I said, we were allowed to leave the house, get back on the bus, and drive. Basically, like nothing happened, but we were all still frightened. I got home, thank God. I had time to shower, to be with my family a little bit, just to sleep. When I woke up, I saw a few calls from my commander saying, you know, I called him back and he said, "Hi, I'm sorry. Some of the guys who were supposed to stay on base for Chag, for Rosh Hashanah, were called up north. The war is really, you know, getting bigger, and we're going into Lebanon, and we need you to come and stay here for Chag instead of them." So obviously, you know, I was a little disappointed because I want to be with my family. But, you know, when reserve calls, you need to show up.
Yep.
So I told my father, I said, "Hey, if you can drive me closer to base, I know it's a long way and Chag is coming in." And anyway, and he said, "Your brother actually just called. He's on his way out from Gaza. He was in Gaza for a month and a half now. We didn't really speak to him since the whole time he was there for this time. And he's coming out too. So actually I could drive you, pick him up. It works out." Anyway, so we got in the car, you know, I got ready, we got in the car. My father, thankfully, he was able to drive me to base. Actually, he drove me somewhere, and the second guy was called up also to stay in for Chag, picked me up. It all worked out. I got to base. We started cooking. I was like,
and your dad winds up, and he winds up dropping off and then heading home.
Yeah, he
got
was
it.
Headed
Good.
Home, rushing so that my brother soldier, has time to shower, get ready, and hopefully have a nice Chag too out of base.
Yeah.
So I actually saw my brother for a split second, like we were rushing. It was like,
wow.
It was unreal. Yeah. And then I get to base. I call my family before the new year and really like, okay, like we're in this together. We'll be here for Chag. And suddenly like my commander's commander, comes in and he basically like gives us some cookies for Chag, like how is everyone doing? And then he saw me like in a split second, like he realized I was there. He was like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "Well, my commander called me in the morning. He told me I have to come." It's like, "Yeah, I needed you guys to come, but then we realized there are enough people around in the area. Like, we'll be okay if you go back for Chag." And this was 2 hours before. This was like 2.5 hours before Chag.
Now let me just explain for some of our viewers and listeners that Chag, which means the festival, the Rosh Hashanah festival, has a lot of similarities to Shabbat, and therefore the observances regarding Shabbat, many of those are also apply to a holiday or a festival like Rosh Hashanah. So, for example, we don't drive on Shabbat, right? Unless there's an absolute emergency. We don't use phones, computers, things like that, again, unless it's an emergency. So here you are, basically 2 hours, you know, before Rosh Hashanah starts, when you're not really supposed to be driving anymore. And here you are told that now you can go home.
Yeah, I'd say it was even 3 hours. Like, you're right. It was like, you know, it was right
pretty
before.
Pretty tight.
Yes, it was tight.
But wait a second. You're without a car.
Yeah. So I
okay.
was like, I wasn't even thinking of going home. I was just like, it's a little disappointing that I was called up, but you know, people make mistakes and my commander didn't understand it. Like, okay, I'll be here for the holiday. I'll stay. We already cooked some yummy things. And I was basically mentally prepared to missing out on being home for the holiday while I heard that my brother, I have two siblings in the army, so they're both home for the holiday. Obviously, the brother who I saw down south, I saw for a second, but he wasn't planning on staying home for the whole holiday. And at the end, he did decide to stay with the family instead of going to be with friends. So I was like a little disappointed, but you know, like this is life. I'll miss out on a holiday. Thank God there's a lot of holidays to come. Anyway, and then this amazing couple walks in, from the Yishuv, from the settlement that I'm, the base is in a settlement, in a city.
Yeah. I would call it like a, almost like a small community, like a village.
Yeah. So suddenly this couple walks in and they're like, "Hi guys, we brought food for the holiday. We want to eat with you tonight. We're going to go set it up in the room next to where, your mission tonight is going to take place. We're going to be with you guys. We're so excited. Thank you guys for being here and protecting us." And they saw me, like, you know, on the side of the room, and they were like, "What are you doing here? We heard you can go, like, just take our car and you know, go home." And again, complete strangers. I don't really know them. And I was like, I didn't feel so comfortable. I said, "No, thank you so much." You know, but I basically didn't take up the offer. And then, I don't know, like 10 minutes later, my commander says, "I'll drive you halfway. Your father will come halfway." And I got into the car with my commander, but then I thought, like, it's not okay. Again, we're religious, so it really, they shouldn't drive on the holiday. It means too many people will not keep the holiday as they want to really, really do it.
Right.
And I decided it's just too tight, and everyone's going to be basically, like, you know, just not coming into the holiday relaxed and happy. I mean, maybe happy, but, you know, not the right way to come into the holiday.
Right.
Driving, like, I don't know, 100 kilometers right before it. And then I said, you know what? Let me talk to those people again. Maybe I'll just do it. Like, if they're
who were they?
Big
who were these people? Like, can you, like, who are they?
So,
like they just like live there at this community. They're young, they're old, or what are they?
So it turns out they moved to this community exactly on October 7th, meaning
Whoa.
October 7th last year was their first day at their new home. They just bought it. They moved from a different place in Israel. They wanted to live down south, you know, on the border. And it was just like the first day was the war and everything, all the horrors that happened here. So it turns out that these holidays, they were like, "We want to celebrate with the soldiers, and we really want to thank, I don't know, God, the people, you know, for the miracles of us still being alive." And
now this community that they moved into exactly a year ago on October the 7th. I mean, we're talking about southern Israel, but is it close to the border?
Yeah, it's, I think we're 4 kilometers away from the border right now.
From the Gaza border.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're right. I'm right between the Egypt border and the Gaza border.
Okay. Yeah, so you're right down there. Okay. So fine. So they moved there a year ago. They wanted to do something on the anniversary of this, or coming up to that, to really being grateful to God for everything. What an incredible attitude.
Yeah. Also, we know the people here. Like, they're very nice. They always come and say hi, and they bring us food and, like, just check in on us. And we have, like, everything we need on base, really, like, amazing, amazing community. They really try to be here with us for anything we need. You know, they always, you know, we see the kids, we go into their schools, their kindergartens, like, we're very close to them. But I didn't know this couple, like, I didn't really see them beforehand, and they're complete strangers. And they just offered their car, and they were like, "We don't have insurance, but just take it, like, just go be with your family. Go be with your brother." Like, I told them that my brother was out of Gaza now. So I run to them to where our mission for the night, basically, where they started getting the food ready for dinner. And I ran up to them like, "Thank you guys so much. I think I'm going to take up on that offer." And they were like, "Yeah, like, why do you even think about it?" And again, we're getting closer and closer to the holiday. And I'm like, I just, you know, I need to get out now if I want to make it on time for the holiday. So their son ran home, brought the car. I get into the car. They're like, it's like this, you know, older car, like, it's an old car. They're like trying to tell me, "If you hear noises, don't worry. Like, it's not the perfect car. Like, it's not so new anymore, but just, you know, just bear with it." And also they saw that I was very excited to go home. And they were, before I, like, left, they try to not really meditate, but try to tell me, "Don't worry about anything. Just try to get home. Don't think that we're such great people. We're just giving you a car. Just drive as calmly as you can." You know, they were trying to help me get into the zone so that I really get home safely. So for the 2.5 hour drive, I was just, like, focused on the road, you know. I didn't even call my parents to tell them I'm coming home. I was just, like, so focused.
Wow.
The whole way, I'm like, so it was just so nice of them to do it. Like, it's just, weren't a war, and we're used to like nice things happening, but it was just pure kindness. It
Right,
was just.
you hear a lot of, and I, soldiers, lining up, getting for a coffee or for whatever, and then they get there and it's been paid for already, or something like that. And I've done my share of that too, in terms of at pizza places and shawarma places, and making sure that, X, whatever, a bunch of soldiers, when they go to pay their bill, it's all looked after. And this is, this is what we do. I saw I think it was Hanukkah last year. One of the most amazing things. It was at the Beit Kama, and it was cold and a little bit damp and rainy. And it's a place, right? It's like a place where soldiers and families come together as soldiers are heading off to the south. And there was this old grandmother, this old Sephardic grandmother, making. With it, and all she had this like big pot or big pan, I guess it was, and oil and a gas balloon, and she's cooking up svinjim and sufganiyot and everything, these sweet fried pastries that are common to eat on Hanukkah. And there's this phenomenal attitude about giving and helping out, but what you're describing is it's something completely on another level. Car.
Yeah,
Amazing. Amazing.
also the holiday this year was 4 days, meaning I'll take the car at the end for 5 days. Like it's not just, a small ride, take it, it was a big deal. And they were just so generous about it. They were just, it was like nothing to them. They're like, yeah, sure, just take it, be with your family. Like they said, you protect us all week long. Like you deserve to be with your family. And also it's a little different because they're a different couple. I think maybe that's what you were trying to say before. Where they're this Yemen couple, the whole place I live in, the whole community is basically Russian, Ukrainian people who moved from Russia and Ukraine. So
Right.
it's like they were so out of the normal.
So you got these like the sweet Yemenite Jews who are just, oh my goodness. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so thank God the whole way was great. It was even starting to like the sun was a little starting to come down. It was like getting chilly, and I was like getting into the vibe of the holidays here, and the new year is, it was just like amazing to come home with this feeling. I ended up parking the car at literally like the minute the holiday started. I
Oh
parked the
my.
car. I WhatsApped this amazing woman, Hani. I told her thank you so much. I arrived home safely, and she sent me a recording on WhatsApp. She said, "I'm so happy you got home. You should have a good year." And she's like, "Kapara alayich," which is like Israeli slang to like, "We love you. You're amazing." It was just this amazing feeling till the end. I ended up walking in the house with my gun, with my uniform, and my father and brothers and sister were walking out for shul,
Oh my.
for service, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" They were like so surprised to see me. It was just amazing. So I got home, I showered, and then we sat down for dinner, and like the whole holiday was just how amazing it is to be together and how it wasn't supposed to happen, so to call it. And it was even so much greater to be together with everyone, with the family, and just to share this moment of just pure kindness from total strangers.
Wow. Wow. What a message that is. What a story. And you tell it extremely well. And I think that's the message, isn't it? The kindness, even from total strangers, that we don't think about that. We don't think about how during a time of war, just tremendous love and kindness is is all around us. And here you personally telling your testimony of how it impacted you. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. Amazing, amazing. Wow.
And obviously also when I got back, I felt like my job is so much more important now, because I'm not just doing it because, my country called me for duty. It's the people that we love in this country that we want to guard and to be there for. So
Yeah.
it made everything so much more meaningful now. And also today I want to say that October 7th, obviously, in the area that I'm here down south, is going to be a very, very hard emotional day. So it's even more important that we show up, that we stand there with those people, that they see us as their siblings or as part of their family, as Am Yisrael, as, you know, we're one big tribe. And it's just those acts of kindness that we make us feel connected, and not just the sadness and all the hard stories that we've heard for the past year.
Definitely. Meirav, thank you very, very much. Thank you for sharing this with us today.
Thank you.
All right. We've been speaking with Meirav, a sergeant in the El Battalion in southern Israel. She's based on the border, a couple miles from Gaza and the Egyptian Sinai Desert, guarding our southern flank, protecting the people of Israel, and doing a great job. And appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.